This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by Ticket Network. The MLB season is in full swing, and the number one place to get tickets to your favorite team is TicketNetwork.KNPShow.com. That's TicketNetwork.KANDPShow.com. Ticket Network has the prices where you want them, when you want them, or tickets, rather, where you want them, when you want them, at the best prices available. That's where the prices are, at the best prices available. Whether getting out to the old ballpark for some baseball or looking to score NBA or NHL playoff tickets, Ticket Network is your number one stop. Use our exclusive link, TicketNetwork.KNPShow.com, to support the show. Welcome back, everybody, to the KMP Show, episode number 36. I am your host, Jonathan Playtech, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Craich. Hello.
Hello. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. The streak is at two.
I told them. I said.
You said? You said, I'm back. I'm ready.
As long as I don't have to go to Italy or Christmas, I'm good. Like, that was the promise.
Right. It's Italy or Christmas.
Right. But now we're good.
Now we're good. Until my birthday comes along in the summer. And then,
where do you think you're going?
Yeah, well, then, I'm just talking about general show hiatus.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not your fault. It's not your fault that this is my birthday. That's my birthday.
Are we going to go, are they doing that, we have to find out if they're doing that ridiculous,
the EDM festival that we were going to sponsor?
No, there's that too, Spring Awakening, that would be nice too. But there was those barnstorming, like, MLB players that, like, joined in on, like, a pro-am league.
Oh, that's
to like in Nebraska or whatever. It was like, hey, this is like a regional, like, fun little thing.
Right.
And it's like all these XLV players, hey, we're gonna get in on this. And it's like, you asshole.
Right, yes, I remember that. Yeah, we were gonna go to Kansas or wherever the hell it is. Omaha.
Nebraska. Wasn't it in Nebraska?
Yeah, it was Omaha, I think.
Okay, yeah. So we got I thought that was right around when your birthday was coming.
Ooh.
So
we have to see if we're doing that again
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see.
Well, another set of barnstorming ex-professional athletes, but basketball is the sport. I don't know.
The Big Three?
What's that?
The Big Three thing?
Is that it with Ice Cube? Ice Cube's leading
it
up?
Yeah. And have you seen, like, the names in that thing? That thing is awesome. I cannot wait for that to come.
What are they going to do? Are they just going to put on exhibitions? Are they just going to, like...
No, it's a league, man. They had a draft the other day.
Oh! All right.
Allen Iverson, who's the player and the coach, didn't show up to set draft.
Of course.
But, you know, hey.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, you haven't seen... Okay, so here I'm not going to run down everybody that's in every team, but I just want to let you know who the team names and the coaches, because I think you're going to very... No, we have to. Like, this is... I'm pretty sure... We could probably get on the ground floor of this and maybe present to Ice Cube that we will be the official podcast of the Big Three. I don't know if demographics match up perfectly.
Yeah. But
we can try.
But, you know, we're multi-demographic here. I don't think we discriminate at all.
No, not at all. I just don't know if they're
we like rap.
White guys from... No, I agree.
And basketball?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if Ice Cube's going to see it the same way we do.
Like, that's true. He might not. He might see it and go,
But this is, you know what? They might want, like, the Midwestern accents that you and
that's
I
exactly
have.
That's exactly right.
Beautiful Ohio accents that we have, even though I have a terrible Chicago nasally thing. But you have very good accents. So, no, we can do that. And then, we can become the official podcast of the Big Three Basketball League and then just ride that wave as long as that goes.
Right. Probably not
forever, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think this is going to be... We're going to be competing with the NBA in a few short years.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of really, like... Good and like, so here's the thing, like, a lot of times you get these leagues and it's like one or two dudes or whatever. This one's got a lot of stuff. So here's the teams are, there's not too many of them, so we can go pretty quick. Here, I'm gonna give you actually the coach and then the captains, because the captains are usually NBA players. There's some other guys are like some, like, you don't care about. Well, I mean, one of these is Kwame Brown or whatever, which is pretty silly. He's not a captain on his team, but the more I look at it, there are some pretty good ones here. We can do the whole roster.
All right, go for it.
There's a good one. All right, so you got Three's Company. Head coach, Allen Iverson.
All right.
Didn't show up for the draft. That's right. players are Allen Iverson, who's the captain.
Right.
He will probably stop about a few games in and give up on that. But you got Jamar Johnson, who was actually a pretty good player. He's the co-captain. Andre Owens, Mike Sweetney. Remember old fat Mike Sweetney from the Bulls?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. I think he's still fat, but hey.
Good for him. You know what? I like it.
Do your thing, Mike Sweetney. And then Ruben Patterson. He used to be the Kobe stopper in the early 2000s, even though he wasn't very good at stopping Kobe ever. But
I don't think many people were.
No, he had some like grand announcement like before some Blazers Lakers play. He's like, oh, I used to play for the, because he used to be on the Lakers, and he said, oh, in practice I would like shut Kobe down or whatever. They're like, all right, cool. And then Kobe dropped like 50.
And you know full well that Kobe like that was Kobe heard that.
Yeah, like, do you really have to give Kobe like some more insight? It's like the Jordan thing. Like, don't say anything, don't do anything, because like Jordan makes like Michael Jordan and Kobe was the same way, would just make up things in his head that you said about him. So it's best not to actually say something about them, because then they actually, because like Michael Jordan be like, oh yeah, he said I was no good, and it's like, no, nobody said that, Mike. Like, I'm a killer. Or like, he just could get these like weird slights that he would have on people, and Kobe would do the same thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Three-headed monsters. Your coach Gary Payton, the glove.
Okay,
this is my favorite team on the entire thing. So you got Rashard Lewis as the captain. You know, he's only about a year or two out of the NBA. That's not bad. Jason White Chocolate Williams.
Boom.
J. Will,
love it.
Co-captain Kwame Brown. Eddie Basdin, who was he was terrible, and then Mahmoud Abdul Rauf, who I believe has to be like 50.
Look at this. Wikipedia like 19... has him at 48 years old, so you're close.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, I was gonna say like he retired in like 1997, but
he's been playing it. It looks like he's been playing in Japan a lot.
Has he? Good for him. Mm-hmm. All right, I bet he's a sleeper. I bet he keeps himself a nice.
Yeah, through the 2010-11 season, with the Kyoto.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know how to say.
Go. Roof, then. That's my favorite team so far. But Ball Hogs, coached by Rick Barry. I got Brian Scalabrine.
I love this captain.
Josh Childress,
mm-hmm.
who I don't know if he has his afro anymore, but I really hope he does. Derek Byers, Rasul Butler, and Dominic McGuire. I mean, Rasul Butler's like a year or two out of the league or whatever, so it's not too bad. You got the Ghost Ballers, coached by George Gervin, George Iceman Gervin. Like, these are legit names. This is the best thing.
Right, yeah. These are prime time, like, NBA Street team names. Like, if they didn't, EA couldn't get the licensing for NBA Street, like, these would be the teams.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, and we have a little NBA Street topic. Maybe
transition to that nicely.
Yeah, then we got the Ghost Ballers, George Gervin, as I mentioned, Captain Mike Bibby, co-captain Ricky Davis, Mo Evans, Marcus Banks, and Ivan Johnson. Ivan Johnson is a psychopath, too. I think he got kicked out of the NBA. He is a scary, scary man, and if you ever do watch Big 3, you will see. But I got the Killer Threes, coached by Charles Oakley. I don't think they'll be playing at Madison Square Garden, but if they do, that...
You don't think so? Why not?
I don't know, yeah. Yeah, this team's like legitimately pretty good. Chauncey Billups, captain. Steven Jackson, co-captain. Charles Oakley, player coach.
I don't think he's lacing him up. I mean,
sure. Chuck, what's
like maybe Chuck's game one? Like he walks out there and
like dude, when you're 7 feet tall and you're 53 years old, like there's no way your knees work, right?
No, so that's got to be like every single day you just wake up and it hurts. That's got to be every single day.
Reggie Evans, who's a pretty good rebounder. He always comes up in like NBA 2K. If you're ever looking to like find a rebound on the free agents list, there's always Reggie Evans because he's terrible at everything else.
Right.
But he was always like 99 in rebound. You're like, all right, whatever.
Yep, there we go.
Gets me a few boards. Like, I don't need scoring. I got, you know, Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams. I don't need Reggie Evans to score. I'm good. Larry Hughes and then Brian Cook, Illinois alum. Brian Cook, I know you'll be rooting for the Killers.
Oh, yes, I will. You know
your
it.
Undying loyalty to the University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. Power, coached by Clyde Drexler. Like, that's what I mean, Clyde Drexler, that's a big name. Corey Maggette, Katino Mobley, Jerome Junkyard Dog Williams, Deshaun Stevenson, and Mucci Norris.
Ooh.
It's a nice little team there. Trilogy, coached by Rick Mahorn. You got Kenyon Martin, Al Harrington, Rashad McCants, James White, and Deion Glover. That team might be some trouble. I don't know. Yeah. And then you got Tri-State, coached by Julius Erving. Dr. J, Jermaine O'Neal, captain, Bonzi Wells, Xavier Silas, Lee Nalon, and Mike James. You remember Mike James? He was from the Bulls every year. He was like the guy that would pick up every...
Yep, yeah, I remember him. Mm-hmm.
Like every single year, like halfway through the season, they're like, you know, we should get Mike James.
So he's available.
Steve Francis, unfortunately not selected. Kendall Gill, not selected either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Isaiah Ryder, unfortunately not selected.
How bad do you have to feel about yourself if you enter into the Big 3 draft?
Unfortunately, did not.
And nobody picks you?
Yeah. Earl Boykins, little Earl Boykins.
Oh, no. But, I mean, he's got to be... How old is he now?
Probably approaching 40.
You know, you can't...
You need, like, peak athleticism to be, like, 5'6", and, like, dominate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so that's...
But are these guys really going to be playing that hard?
No, because I was going to say the rules here, standard 2-3 point shots apply. Game is played on a half court, so it's a half court.
Okay.
Exclusive 4-point shots when a player is touching any part of the 4-point circle.
Oh, boy.
This is like Rock and Jock. Remember the old Rock and Jock basketball games on MTV?
Uh-huh.
This is kind of what that's going to be. So there's no fallouts, but all personal fouls will be counted as team fouls. After the on and after the fifth team foul, opponents get two shots in ball possession. A technical foul, which you're going to need that because I think there'll be plenty in this.
Yeah,
league.
There's going to be a lot of cursing.
Two foul shots and the ball. Halftime happens after a team scores 30 and the team must win by 4 points.
Okay, so they time it
so
by...
First team to 60 wins. So it's not timed. It's to get to 60. So
that's interesting.
No defensive three-second rule. Steals don't have to be cleared.
Is there hand-checking allowed? I want to see hand-checking.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Going to have to be.
Doesn't say anything here. This is... I cannot wait. It's probably going to be like terrible after a little bit, but starts June 25th in Brooklyn. So we'll have to... What day is your birthday again?
The 14th of July. I don't know what day that falls this year.
Okay, we'll have to see where the big three is playing and then make
so it ends in Las Vegas on August 26th. Wait, so it starts June 25th and ends in Vegas on August 26th. So this is like 3 months of these guys doing whatever. Oh God, I hope they take it on a tour. Like they just stop at different cities.
Yeah, and when you want like the N1 mixtape tour, these I know it is going to be on FS1 as well. So. If you can find FS1 on your cable package, you can.
Then I am definitely going to be clearing out space in my DVR.
Yeah, this is a very DVR-able league, because you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, like, I don't like DVRing, like, basketball games or, like, live sports or whatever, because people are always like, oh, you can DVR, but then, like, you don't want to watch a baseball game when it happened, you know? If it was, like, you came home that night and you watched, but, like, the next day or you're only really going to want to watch, like, the previous day's baseball game.
Yeah.
But this, I feel like, has, like, evergreen potential here. It's not you're going to be like, oh, well, I know that the Ghost Riders won or whatever. Like, I don't think you're going to care. I think you're just going to want to see, like, Jermaine O'Neal throw a ball at Michael Sweetney and then a fight start or something like that. And then Ice Cube wondering why he didn't figure out a better investment for his money, but you know.
They closed up. I think they closed up title investment opportunities, so he can't invest in Jay-Z's title anymore. So he's like, you know what, I'm going to start my own thing, and it's going to be this. So that'll be interesting. The big three, couple 3 months of TV, and hey, on FS1, you might if you watch FS1 for say UFC main event, if you know where that is.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, not many people have.
our lovely John does the voiceovers for those. So.
A few of this season, I believe they have me booked for 11 episodes. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Did the one I did for Joanna Jędrzejczyk and some other incredible Slovak.
How long did it take you to come up with that name or to figure out what?
Oh God, it took me forever. Let's see.
Is that the sheet right there?
No, this isn't it. This isn't it. I got scripts everywhere. No, I can't. It was Joanna Jędrzejczyk and...
I'm the worst person to ask about anything UFC related.
I didn't know these.
I would love to help you, but...
When I first saw it, I thought it was just gibberish. When I first saw like, the name on the script, name. I'm like, this isn't a real name. This is like
someone fell asleep on their keyboard. Right. And we're just like, oh, whoops, I forgot.
Well, you know what? I'll figure out this guy's name later. I'm just, you know.
go for now, yeah. And then we'll go back and change it later. Yeah,
but no, it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and it's spelled interestingly. But yeah, the sharing a network. So I'm sharing a network with Ice Cube. But maybe that's our in. Maybe that's our in.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's like Cube. Here it is. Synergy, baby.
I want you, the next time you're at the studio, and I'm assuming Cube just shows up, you know, for every FS1 thing. He's
right, he's there.
With everything. Uh-huh. Then you can maybe corner him and talk to
him.
Yeah,
I will definitely bend Ice Cube's ear about.
$4 million, I think, is probably reasonable for us to do.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, what are these guys paying? What are they paying these guys? You know, we bring professionalism, duh, and a good sound.
Great sound.
We may not relate best to the target demo, but
though again though the target demo might be we might actually because you know as somebody who also hosts an NBA history podcast, I feel like that's kind of the buffs like because you know what I mean like there's I don't know that there's that many like the people that are watching these NBA playoffs and like arguing about you know LeBron James like are they really going to be that interested in seeing like Ruben Patterson? It's probably like the real nerdy basketball fans that are like oh sweet Bonzi Wells is back.
Oh, you know that's I mean? Right. Like, that's a good point.
That's one of my worries. Right. It's like maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't like the modern young fan that we're speaking of.
That's true. Ooh,
it might not be your, you know, 2K my team people. It might be like you and I and like Jason Mann, who I do the history podcast with, or people like older fans that are like, oh, cool, like X is back and they're being coached by Julius Erving. You know, right. like that. I don't know that Julie, like head coach Rick Barry, does much for anybody but like our little nerd circle. So maybe we're, you know, maybe that's a thing. Is what we think it is.
That's a good, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point.
All right, you tell Ice Cube.
I will. I'll make sure. I'm writing it down now. The next time I talk to Cube, I'll let him know.
Perfect.
I'll,
You call him, you guys are on a last name basis too. You just call him Cube.
Yeah. Well, you know,
hey,
I mean,
Cube.
I haven't,
hey, Cube, what's up?
I haven't really asked. I just kind of, you know, I don't think we've gotten there. But I just, you know, for familiarity's sake.
Well, you won't know until you do it, right?
Right. It's you got to throw it out there and see how
he reacts. And then if he doesn't
say
anything.
Right.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, cool, I can call you Cube from now on.
And to be honest, I mean, calling him Cube now is probably a lot different than, say, you know, 15, 20 years ago, calling him Cube. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, back then, if you misstepped and called him Cube when you didn't have proper standing to call him Cube, you were probably in trouble. Although he did, he was one of the few that went to college, right? Is that?
Yeah, no, he's actually like a, like what, like a, he's not like a street, you know what I mean? Mm. Like that was sort of the, what he played up a little bit. I'm sure there was a little element of that because living in that area around that time, he did that. But no, he went to like art school and like always wanted to be an actor and all that sort of
okay.
stuff.
Okay, but even
he kind of fell into the music.
But
thing,
even but, that he had that rep.
Oh no, Ice Cube would fuck you up. Probably, I'm sure he's still a very large man.
Yeah,
I could probably kill you.
But
so.
But now he's doing the kids movies. He's doing
no,
the,
yeah, he's not gonna. Yeah,
are we there yet? Movie. Franchise. He's got a brand to protect. He's not gonna make headlines by beating the crap out of some punk kid who called him Cube at the wrong time. Right? So I'm probably pretty safe calling him Cube.
I like that you consider yourself a kid. That's nice.
Well,
that's cute. I'm
not 30 yet, like somebody.
That's true. Oh, boy.
I got that for, let's see, 3 more months?
Yeah, breathe it in. I literally, the day after I turned, like, felt like sore.
What, like, talking like a zombie? Like, I was a different person.
I was like, what the hell? Like, why? This is ridiculous. Oh boy!
Yep.
Big three. Let's do it.
But you were saying this ties into something that we wanted to talk about nicely. This is a 3-on-3 tournament. This is going to be very reminiscent in a way of NBA Jam, and there's something that's also very reminiscent of NBA Jam making its way to your digital video game stores. I believe for both Xbox and PlayStation 4.
I think. PC as well.
Ooh, is it on PC? It's on Steam?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Sports games on Steam suck.
I was going to say, I don't know. I would, well, because then you get like, because chances are you're going to plug a controller in anyway.
Right.
And then at that rate, you probably just have like the console. Just do the console.
Right. You know? You don't get better graphics. You don't, you know, you get 60 frames per second on games that don't normally run 60 FPS. I get it. But really the only, I wish there was a good sports game for PC.
Yeah, I've heard the NBA games are great because you can like mod the hell out of them and do some good stuff there. But I think the problem though is, and don't quote me because I don't know exactly, but I think they released them like 9 months after.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like that where like maybe NBA 2K17 will come out like this week or whatever. And it's like, well, geez, I don't really, you know. It's a little past the time or whatever, but yeah, I mean, you have like your, of course, your sim games, your Out of the Park Baseball, Baseball Mogul, those sort of ones. The sims, I think, always do pretty well, but yeah, as far as like, you know, the actual like graphical sports games, yeah, it's probably better just to do consoles. You're probably more familiar, but NBA Playgrounds is coming out.
And
today.
It's out, again, on your respective platform, available at the digital stores. Rich, do you know how much it is?
$20.
$20.
Dude, I started the download before we got on the show here, so I will be planning on I'm playing that later tonight. So if you're listening to this and want to play, Voices Wrestling is my PSN.
There you
game.
Go. Hook up. Play a little NBA Playgrounds. Now I watched the gameplay demo after our mutual friend DJ told us about it, or we all started talking about it in a group chat, and I watched the video, and it looks very interesting. Like, again, very reminiscent of NBA Jam, except this time it's got Ian Eagle, who's doing the play-by-play. I don't know if there's a second guy in the booth or if it's just him, but it's, you know, obviously two-man teams and you're doing your thing. Now, the thing I noticed is that it seems to operate on an unlock. That's the way you unlock guys, is that you get packs, like cards.
Right, right, right.
And then you have to hope that you get somebody pretty good or at least kind of good. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's done in the pack system, but I don't think there's microtransactions right now, which is pretty cool. So I think it's just a you win a game as your team or whatever, and then you get a new pack to open up guys like that. So then you can little by little build the roster. So in a way, it's I would say almost that part of it makes it a little bit more NBA Street than NBA Jam, because NBA Jam is like you select the Timberwolves and then you play as the two members of the Timberwolves
right.
that give you, and you select the Atlanta Hawks and then you play. Whereas this is more like you're blending different. So I can pick Dirk and Karl Malone and put them together if I have. The pack suited them. So, and that's how NBA Street kind of was. It was less of like rigid NBA teams and more of like the players, and then you could sort of form your own teams in that mold. So, but yeah, I think you open up packs. I have no idea how it starts, but it looks pretty cool. I mean, I watched a little bit of videos. People have said, don't expect it to be as good as an NBA Jam, and I don't think anything's going to be as good as an NBA Jam, but they said it gets to the level of like an NBA Street, and I love those games. I think those games did not get as much love as they should have, and maybe it's just because like the age that we grew up in, like for us, we grew up with NBA Jam, whereas maybe kids, a little younger than us grew up with NBA Street, but I always liked those games. I always thought they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, the EA Big phase, when they tried that whole thing, that's when you saw NFL Street, NBA Street. I think they tried Soccer Street or something like that, but that's something I didn't get into. But they tried it, and it was decent enough. I think that there was some pressure on EA Sports by their licensing, the people from whom they licensed the content, where they didn't like the street moniker, and they didn't like the way it was being marketed as more violent, more openly violent than other games, and more openly of a, I don't even know how to say it, not appealing to a culture, but it showed players, NBA and NFL players, in a light that those respective organizations may not want, let's say. They showed them in a different light, but they moved away from it. But I agree completely. I liked both of those games when they were out. I think NFL Street, there were two NFL Streets, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, two NFL Streets, and I think three maybe NBA Streets. But I think, don't quote me on that. I don't know exactly if that was true. But yeah, I liked, NFL Street. I forgot how much I enjoyed those games too. I almost enjoyed those more than NBA Street.
Mm-hmm. That was a different
NFL
dynamic.
Awesome.
Yeah, like playing in an alley and like checking guys into the wall, and when you tackle them, it was a lot of fun. But I was wondering, my big thing was I worried about the price when I saw it. I thought, oh no, they're going to want $60 for this, and it's just not going to be worth it. But $20 is probably about perfect for price in terms of what you're getting, which is it's all NBA licensed, right?
Yeah, so it's all NBA players. There's classic NBA players too, which is really cool as well. When you open up packs, you'll get similar to how NBA Jam was in later years, like NBA Hang Times and stuff like that. You'll get eventually you'll unlock like historic players. So your Dominique Wilkinses of the world. I think like Jordan isn't in there, so don't get all upset if Michael Jordan's not in there, because Michael Jordan's not going to sign away his name for
nope.
anything less than a lot of money. And the same with Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is also not in there, but I think most other ones that you would think of in terms of historical players are all in there too, so that adds a fun little dynamic to it as well. I'm sure playing online will become a cesspool in a little bit, because everyone's just gonna be like Steph Curry and LeBron or whatever, but it could be fun if you find the right collection of people. And I'm sure the single player will be fun on its own too, because I was watching some videos and it looks like, yeah, you just kind of go and play, and it's just kind of mindless fun or whatever, which is always good. I mean, that's what made NBA Jam and what made NBA Street so fun, because it wasn't a game where you had to focus necessarily. And I know one of the issues that some people have complained about is that you get like these power-ups. So you fill up this meter, and then when that meter gets to the top, you get like a random power-up. So some of them is like, you get like a 10-point shot or something, or you get two times points on dunks or whatever. So some people have complained that those things are maybe a little cheesy or a little too random or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, you're playing NBA Playground, so it's like,
right,
whatever. Like, I'm not going to get that upset.
There's a
sim
out there for you. It's called NBA 2K,
right,
if that's what you want.
Yeah, right. If you're like, oh, that's stupid, a 4-point shot. Well, it's like, well, just then go play NBA 2K. Like,
right, there's plenty of cartoony stuff in NBA 2K. I mean, they even have like a streetball mode, where you can take a guy and go play street ball and play 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 or whatever, and then get dunked on by 7-foot-3 point guards.
Remember that?
Oh, God. Rich and I tried. We tried.
we had like a 10-game win streak. We were feeling ourselves. We're like, oh, boy, we're killing.
But to be fair, it was like right when the game kind of first came out and people were still figuring things out. But we were trying to run like basketball stuff, like high screen and roll and pick and pops and all that. And then All the other guys just, I don't know whether they've just bought VC, and they, like, people would show up with 7'3" centers who would ball handle and had like 99 athleticism. And they just dunk all over you and hit three pointers. And
their point guard, who was also 7'4", it was a 99.3, so he would just, no matter where he was on the court, shoot over you. And
it's just, that's not, you know. So if you're going to complain about, like, oh, I really like an unrealistic NBA video game, but I don't want it to be that unrealistic because I don't want 4-point shots or anything crazy like that. That's going to be way too much. Then just play vanilla NBA 2K if you're just going to complain about 10-point shots, unless they're saying there's a balance issue, which I understand. If they're going to say...
Yeah, I think what most things I've seen is said that they're just kind of randomized, so it kind of feels at certain points. Like, you know, you won't get the 10, you know... It's not like, because NBA Jam had the thing where, like, if you were down like 20, like, they would just be like, all right, you're making every shot, buddy. You're getting back in this game. Like, no matter what in NBA Jam, like, nobody has ever won a game in NBA Jam by more than like 20 points, mm-hmm. whatever, without like really trying. Like, once before, me and my friend Joe, like, really focused one time and beat the Bulls like 120-3 or something like that. We only gave up 3 points, which is incredibly difficult, and I do not recommend it because we spent like 7 hours playing the game to try to do that. But did not recommend it at all. You have to like injure the people enough where they can't run. Oh. Do you remember that NBA Jam? Because they would carry over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you shove them down enough times, they would eventually carry that injury over. And then by the third quarter, be so slow that they couldn't.
Really? No, I don't. I don't remember that specifically.
Yeah,
so
You'd have to injure them a certain amount of times, and then they would be like very slow. So you'd have to get like the right balance of like the guys are slow no matter what on the other team, and then you injure them so much that they can't even move, and then like you basically can, and you get fired right away, and then you can goaltend and do all that fun stuff. So, but they said that like sometimes like the other team will get 4 straight of those like, you know, 10-point shots or whatever, and then they're up 40, and you feel like you kind of got cheated that way. But I don't know, and I'm sure it's gonna be a balance thing that people will do, and that's the art of 2017 video games. They could just update it,
right? So. Yeah,
they can say,
they don't even have to worry about releasing
a problem.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about releasing a finished product. They'll just go, no, we can update it. We left ourselves open on the back end, so we can just,
which is such garbage mostly because it's like,
no,
why don't you give like betas? Like that was the thing that worked for so long. Give us demos, give us betas. Let us tell you what's wrong. And it's like, nah, fuck it. Pay 60. Here you go. Oh, this sucks. Well, we'll update it eventually. Like, what? No.
If we feel like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That was before the days of Christ Kobe, my friend. That single-handedly sunk the NBA, EA's NBA franchise.
NBA Live, yeah. And then they had tried to call it something else one year, and then it was bad, and then, you know.
And then people just stopped buying it.
NBA Live's been bad for years, too, but I always had to defend it, because there were still, like, the people that still really loved NBA Live, and NBA Live had been garbage for, like, 15 years before that, but, you know.
Yeah, 2K had the superior product for a long time. It was the superior product. And then, but in the annals of sports video games, 2K also had a bunch of clunkers because those the last, I want to say, 5 or 6 of their baseball games just sucked.
Every year, you and I, like, every year, March would come around or whatever, we're like, all right, let's do this. And we'd put it in and, you know, okay, that's good. And then within, like, it didn't take long. It was probably, like, within 2 hours, we were just like, oh. Like, we just noticed things, and, you know, like, there was one year where you just always hit home runs. Remember?
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
And there was one year where you couldn't hit home runs, and then there was, like, it was just always,
and then there was,
like,
the year where your save file would just randomly corrupt all the time.
Yes, but you wouldn't find that out until, like, a few weeks in, and it was just like, oh.
Yep. Way out. Like, guys would just get hurt all the time. The young players that would enter the, like, for a franchise mode, the young players that would enter the league would all suck, and they would all stay sucking. So the league would just get really, really, really bad at baseball. And it looked nice, but that was like the only thing going for it. And PlayStation 3 owners at the time had MLB The Show, which is doing, I don't know, I don't think it's really changed in however long, 5-6 years.
It's been basically the same. They've kind of got it, and now they just have to kind of refine it a little bit, which is the 2K thing, too, where it's like, hey, we got this, so now we can just, which is good, a good spot to be in, where you don't have to continually tweak the gameplay, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, this works.
Right, yeah, we got it figured out, and we can do this, or, you know, or that, whatever we want.
Like what Madden's done for the past 20 years. They don't have gameplay figured out, but they don't.
No, one day they're going to figure out screen passes, dude. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Yeah, you can. Oh.
There's no such thing as a screen pass. Or,
but what's weird is in NCAA it worked. Like, screen passes were the best in NCAA. And it was like, just no.
Just do that. Over, no, no.
Or the option, like the option you cannot run. I mean, why are you running the option in the NFL? Anyway, but yeah, you can't even like sort of run it. Not that I was trying, but.
No, I would, like, if you could, I'd be totally okay with that. Like, if you can make an athletic enough guy in Madden that you could run an option, because either that or give me another NCAA football game, damn it. And just give every Division I AA college like 150 or 500 grand, whatever. You're going to make millions off of it. Right? And just let them.
I think so. Yeah. I wonder if those didn't sell as well as we maybe thought. I mean, you and I love them, and I know there was a hardcore base, but yeah, I wonder if there wasn't enough. The problem that I always ran in with that game, and I love how this show is just talking about
we made the mistake. Here's our mistake, is putting a sports video game in the run sheet, because once you do that, all bets are off.
We're never getting off this. Yeah, we're never getting off this. But I think always one of the issues with NCAA is that it came out like a month before Madden or whatever. And you would get that, like, because for a month, everybody was playing that game. It was going nuts. Everybody was, oh, yeah, yeah. And then Madden came out, and that, like, half the people were just gone immediately. And it was just the hardcore, you know, college football fans that then played it afterwards. So I always thought that it would be a better idea if they released it. You know, yeah, I know the college football season only it starts, but, you know, release it in March or whatever and get that time in between, because it would come out in, like, July or whatever, and then Madden would come out in August. And it was like, well, you know, everybody used NCAA to trade in to buy Madden. It's like, well, no, that's, you know, that's a bad strategy, guys.
Right, yeah, and you would have to wait 2-3 weeks for the rosters to come out for guys to finish that. And so you ended up, you know, you ended up very quickly with two football video games in your library within, like, I don't know, 2 weeks, give or take a week on either end. You had two football video games.
Yeah, and there's a lot of crossover, too, between those fans. Like, I think even more so than, like an NCAA basketball game and an NBA game, I think, is two very different fan bases, you know, anybody that most people should know if you've ever, you know. But I feel like college football fans and NFL fans are basically the same. You know what I mean?
Right, you don't get a lot of calls of one being more pure than the other or being a thug league or...
Right, you watch college football on Saturday, and then you watch NFL on Sunday, and then you're good to go.
Right.
Or, you know, NFL on Saturday and Monday.
And there's no, like, astonishingly incredibly white football teams in the NCAA that I really noticed for that that people may get behind for some reason or another. Like, even...
Even Duke football has to...
Right, they're like, okay, well, you know what? It's not working the way it does in basketball. So, but even Duke basketball has kind of moved away from that.
Well, you always have your four on the end of the bench that, you know.
Well, and they make up for it usually with one starter who's just, like, aggressively white.
Right, like Grayson Allen.
Right, Grayson, right, exactly.
An aggressively dickhead. Yes.
But Grayson Allen is aggressively white. Even his name, Grayson Allen, he's got two first names.
Yeah.
Or no, actually, his name is inversed. It should be Allen Grayson.
Allen Grayson would be a much better name, yeah. And he has a stark resemblance to Ted Cruz.
That's right, he does.
Like, a shockingly close resemblance to Ted Cruz.
Who likes to trip people.
Yes.
And doesn't get called for. You know who else likes to trip people?
Oh, this is Segway City.
Isn't it?
I like where the show's going.
Right? Yes. I
screw the haters, John. I like where this is going.
What haters? We have haters?
I don't know. No, I don't think we have haters. Do we?
I don't think so. I don't know. Do I even care? I mean, I guess that's the question. Would I even care if we did? I don't particularly think so.
Yeah, I think you and I have both dealt with our fair share of haters in other avenues and outlets, so it's kind of nice to just go on here and just jack around for a little bit and nobody cares.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's my entire life, is jacking around for a little bit and nobody cares. It's the whole thing. That's morning, noon, and night for me. It's just jacking around and nobody cares.
All right, don't ruin this.
All right, but Draymond Green, my official...
There
my,
it is.
Officially. Yes. Officially, my favorite NBA player. I remember.
Right, so it's locked in. It's ready to go.
Yes, because he is an elite level troll. Elite. Like, he is trolling at such a high level that I don't think anybody realizes that he's trolling anymore. I think people think he's actually, people actually think he believes the things he says and are waiting for somebody else for some ultimate hypocrisy for Draymond Green to commit. I think he is trolling, you know, in a league with, you know, the the Halloween party with the 3-1 lead on a on the kick drum with on the skeleton band to the cupcakes at a summer party in a league filled with trolls and guys that like to be passive aggressive, Draymond Green is a man amongst boys. He has refined his game. I mean, I'll even give the nut kicking a pass if he can keep up this level of trolling. It's incredible what he's been able to do. This is from, I linked it, I found it on Deadspin, but they are also pulling together from a few different sources. But this is a story on Draymond Green. A week ago, Warriors players were talking about how boring Salt Lake City is and how they wished they were playing against the Clippers instead. This primed the already hyped up Jazz fans, and during Game 3, some of them repeatedly heckled Green. It didn't make any sense to him. Quote, I thought they should be louder than they were. It didn't get as loud in there as I thought it would, he said. It was okay. Their fans talk a little too much. Shut up. No, I wasn't really feeling their fans. Shut up. He continued saying, they don't make any sense. Some guy kept telling me to shoot the ball. Do you not realize I'm shooting 55% from three this series? Why would you want me shooting the basketball when I'm shooting that great? Now, of course, I missed a few last night and like, whatever. I'm going to shoot the piss out of it tomorrow. So that's cool. Their fans just weren't very smart. They talk too much. Shut up. End quote.
Oh my God.
That's great.
I love that he used, I'm going to shoot the piss out of it. And like, I'm sure this is like a very well attended media briefing. You know what I mean?
Right. And he's just like, no.
I'm going to shoot the piss out of it.
Yeah, that's PISS is how you spell it.
Yeah, people with all the recorders and like these like actual, like, you know, people traveling across the world to cover this game. Yeah, I'm going to shoot the piss out of it.
Right. There's guys from different countries that don't get the vernacular. They don't get what he's saying. Like, what? What did he say? But that's, first of all, that's awesome. Rich, you do a lot of your work in wrestling. Is that not a great heel?
Oh yeah, he's a heel. Yeah, and the Warriors actually, as a team, have actually surprisingly over the past few years, and that's actually, you know, there was a while where I really really liked the Warriors because they were kind of the up and coming team or whatever. They were, you know, the baby faces, and then got a little dickish and got a little heelish, and now they're kind of embracing it in a lot of ways too, because, you know, when you acquire Kevin Durant, when you are as successful as they are, eventually people are going to kind of turn on you. And I think that's kind of been a thing with you know, Steph kind of stays out of it a little bit. Durant sort of stays out a little bit, but Draymond does not, man. He goes all on board with it. He loves it. He embraces it. And I'm sure, you know, this is one of the best defenders in the NBA. And you got to imagine if this is the shit that he talks in like press conferences and in interviews, can you imagine going up against him on the court?
What he says on
like,
the court?
He's got to be getting in your head. Like, or he's making you laugh, or he's just, you know, he's just such a dumb little idiot. You know what I mean? Like, just a fun, awesome idiot that you're probably just like, God damn, Draymond, like, what are you talking about? But he's in your head. Like, and that's the thing is, like, I'm sure he's not an idiot. He's a very smart guy. He's a super smart defender, super smart player. So, yeah, I have no doubt that he knows exactly what he's doing, and that's part of his strategy, I think, because I think it's working, because, man, he's one of the best defenders in the NBA and one of the best players in the NBA right now, too. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, he's awesome. He's the best.
Well, there's another part in this story. It says, during yesterday's Game 4, Jazz fans kept up the heckling, with one bringing a Draymond flop count sign to the arena after sweeping the Jazz while compiling a triple-double and six flops, according to the whiteboard. Green signed it. He went over and signed a heckling fan's sign.
See, there it is
sign.
Right there. That is, like, because if he wasn't a self-aware, he didn't know what was going on, he wouldn't go over there, he wouldn't notice it, he would tell somebody to take the sign away. But he just went over there and smiled. It was like, ha, 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 ha. You know, he's self-aware, and that makes it awesome.
That's elite-level trolling. That's great showmanship. Like, that is what you are supposed to do as a showman. Like, if you are in a hostile town or whatever as part of a wrestling promotion, right, that's heel 101. That's what you do, is that kind of stuff. And it's absolutely perfect what Draymond Green has been able to do to refine his troll game, on top of being so good. You know, this isn't some guy who's talking crap from the end of the bench, or who can't get a shot up, or who can't sink anything, or is just getting blown by on the defensive side of the court. He's compiling a triple. It's his triple double, and then he went over and signed the flop scoreboard and said, "Here you go, kid. Thanks." That's awesome, and I can't wait to see more of it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Favorite NBA player right now. But and of course, Rich, he was also, in, I think, intentionally hypocritical about Kelly Olynyk.
Yes, yeah. So earlier this week, and it made news all over the place, and it was all the rage, and oh my God, what an idiot, what is he saying? He said this is Draymond again, you know, give him a live mic, and you get some quotes, which is always a good thing too. He said, Kelly Olynyk is a dirty player, man. Like, you do little dirty stuff, and then you want to take a charge. Like, come on, man. Oubre didn't hit him that hard. He's talking about the fight between Kelly Oubre and Kelly Olynyk. He says, Olynyk is dirty. Dirty player, man. I don't respect guys like that. And, you know, people got nuts, including Al Horford's wife, who I believe said, Draymond, you touch more nuts than a peanut vendor. You have no right to call Kelly Olynyk a dirty player. Or something like that. I thought it was, but like, people went nuts. And it's like, again, this guy, people are like, oh, does Draymond not know? Draymond knows he's a dirty player.
Right.
Like, he knows exactly what he's doing when he's hitting guys in the nuts. Like, oh, I don't know. I just lift my leg into the, like that whole ordeal earlier in the year, if that didn't tell you that this guy knows exactly what he's doing and is very great, like, you don't just throw your leg out there, like, we discussed it, like, when are you right. ever, like, do that, go around your house, take a jump shot, you never just lift your leg up into someone's fucking crotch, like Draymond does all the time.
Well,
like,
you know,
I mean, maybe yeah. you do, but, you know, and it's just like, he knows what he's, and again, this is a funny thing, because everyone's going, oh my God, doesn't he realize, and one thing that's really cool about Draymond too, and I think he really does understand this as well, he does go a little overboard sometimes, and there has been times where like Steve Kerr's had to calm him down and Steph Curry's had to calm him down, and him and Durant have obviously had arguments or whatever, but he's really good at taking pressure off of any of those other guys, because reporters will go to him because they know they're, you know Steph Curry, you're gonna get, what are you gonna get from Steph Curry? He's gonna give you just bullshit or whatever. You go to Kevin Durant,
right, he's gonna give you the athlete speak,
right, and Kevin Durant's basically been the same way as well. He'll go a little bit, he'll give you some stuff here and there, but for the most part he's just kind of, you know, whatever, and Steve Kerr will give you some good stuff, but he's, you know, obviously not there right now. But Draymond will always get, I mean, he'll always take the losses at heart. He'll take the wins at heart. You know, you're always going to get good stuff out of him. And I think teams probably appreciate that a little bit as well, because it's like, you know what, cool. You know, I don't have to sit there and talk or answer these questions, because Draymond's already probably told them everything they need to know. And you know, some people might like it. Some people might not like it. But as a teammate, I would appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. very similar to like a Dennis Rodman, you know, that we experienced in Chicago. Like, Dennis Rodman coming to Chicago was one of the best things for that team, because everybody just said, oh God, what's Dennis Rodman doing? Nobody talked to Scottie Pippen. Nobody gave a shit what Scottie Pippen had.
Right. Can you believe what, did you hear what Dennis Rodman said? Like, let's go ask him more about it.
And that's good sometimes. Like, sometimes your players mm-hmm. are like, cool, I can just, you know, change and get the hell out of here. Like,
right, I'm gonna go home. See ya. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a dynamic that I hadn't considered, that he gives other guys cover by virtue of being so outspoken with the media and frank about things like this, like calling Kelly Olynyk a dirty player. Of course, intentionally being hypocritical to rile people up, but just his forwardness and wearing his emotions on his sleeve, that's where the press is going to go for the gangbangs after the game. So your star, if he's not shooting well or anything like that, if he's hitting a rough patch, he'll have more cover to just do the perfunctory, yes, yes, no, yeah, we got to shoot better, I have to shoot better, I'm going to work on it, okay, bye. I'm going on the bus back to the hotel. So
right.
That, no, that's right. Now, Rich, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the Oubre Olynyk thing?
I didn't mind it. I mean, Olynyk does kind of throw some bows, and it has been known to set some pretty hard screens or whatever. I don't know if I'd go over there and shove him down, but, you know,
Were you okay with the suspension as a result shoving?
Yeah, I think you
have. Yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah, I was a little worried because there was like a ref in between them, and then when he shoved Olynyk down, I thought the ref went down with him, and I was like, oh boy, you're not going to be playing for a while. But
right,
luckily, he was able to just shove Olynyk. You know, I don't mind it. You know, I don't want fighting in basketball. I don't think it needs to happen all the time. I know people, oh my God, I love the 80s when everybody fought every 20 seconds, which never happened. It happened like a few times, you know, as usual. But, mm-hmm. you know, people conflate and remember what they want.
Yeah, people pretend like the Pistons, like it was just a street brawl, like every single game.
They played slow and dirty. But actually, you know, what's pretty funny about some of those teams is like they had like really good offenses too, but everyone's like, oh, they just scored like 70 a game and just shoved you down and hit you in the mouth every time you went for a layup. And it's like, oh, okay, if you want to believe that, it's fine. But no, I like a little bit of aggressiveness here and there. I especially like when bums like Kelly Oubre go in and try to like... shoved out or starts fights with like important players on other teams, like, because I feel like that's what I would do is if I was a basketball coach, like if I had like the absolute biggest bum on my team, and I'd be like, you know what, just shove LeBron, like why not get out there and just
so the basketball enforcer
right
idea.
Exactly, like it just yeah. like be like, okay, this guy's killing us, you know what, get out there, just like I'd be thrown out of the league, like no doubt. And it's like a horrible thing to do, and but I don't, you know what I mean, I'd be like so annoyed,
right.
If I was like the Raptors, like if I was Dwayne Casey, I'm like, this guy is gonna sweep us again, you know what. Who are you? I don't even know who you are. Get out there. Just shove him on his ass. Like,
just put him down. Just in front of the home crowd. Just shove him down.
Like, we're gonna lose this game anyway by 30. Just throw him on the ground. See what happens. No, I wouldn't actually do that. But
yeah. And by speaking of that, you remember when everybody was worried about the Cavs losing the number one seed? Remember that?
Oh, that was, yeah. That was.
Remember that when that was a big thing? Mm-hmm. Because how are they ever going to recover from it?
Yeah. They recovered. That's good stuff going on here. I mean, I actually wanted to ask you this. This wasn't on a run sheet a little bit, but so far, the two dominant teams, I mean, the Warriors have not lost yet in the playoffs. The Cavs have not lost in the playoffs. I think you and I both going into this playoffs knew that it was going to probably end up being Cavs-Warriors, but are you disappointed by what you've seen so far in the NBA playoffs, or are you kind of okay because you know at the end of the tunnel is the Armageddon series between the Cavs and the Warriors, or did you want to see a little bit more competition going on in the early rounds?
I'm fine with it. The Bulls stole two, and I think that was probably enough
for
me.
The Rajon Rondo MVP campaign, that was something else, man. I was stuck in Italy, and like, I was, because, you know, obviously the games are played, like, you know, I'd get woken up at like 2 a.m. with some like notification that the Bulls are about to start or something like that, you know what I mean? And so I'd like wake up and I'd be like, what the hell? Like, they won twice? Like, yeah, up 2-0, and I look and like Rondo's got, you know, like some ridiculous stat line. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I come back from Italy and it's like, Rondo's hurt and everybody sucks and the team's garbage and we're out of here. But
yeah, you're looking at your phone like, what year is this?
No way.
Like, travel
like,
back
Rajon
in time.
Rajon Rondo, you know, leads them through. And I'm like, what the hell? Like,
but other than that, I like watching good basketball. And I'm of the mind that the top seeds are only going to lose when, by virtue of bad basketball. So when you've got a top seed taking on a bottom seed, you know, whether it's 1-8, 2-7, however the seeding works out, is that if you want a competitive series early on, somebody somewhere is playing bad basketball. It's very, very rare that an 8 seed just turns it on and absolutely bludgeons a 1 seed just by virtue of being better than them at basketball. Because over the course of a season, the number 1 seed is the number 1 seed for a reason, right? It's not like the NCAA tournament where you can have, which matchup is it, the 4 or the 5 or the 7 taking on the 11 or whatever, and it was a committee deciding who gets the seeding, and so the teams may actually be better at basketball. Very rarely do you see a lower seed better than basketball.
Right, right, right.
Than the higher seed. So a competitive series in the early rounds, you know, even up to the conference semis, would require bad basketball on somebody's part, and I just don't want to watch that. You know, I would just rather watch LeBron being LeBron or the super team from California being the super team from California. You know, I want to see that rather than some scrappy upstarts taking, you know, cue from some bad basketball,
right?
Play,
yeah,
by
no, and that's how I am as well. Because I'm sure if there wasn't like these two dominant teams or whatever, then yeah, it'd be kind of cool to have a bunch of random teams or whatever. But like, and you know, this we happened in the '80s too with the Celtics and the Lakers and, you know, the Pistons and the Bulls and these super teams that would always kind of come together at the, you know, the playoffs would happen, the season would happen, and then you knew at the end of the playoffs, okay, I'm gonna get the best team. We're gonna, and that's the NBA that was always good about that, is that the NBA Finals are more times than not, you know, probably 95% of the time, are the two best teams in the league. It represents, you know, two of the best teams in, you know, at least if it's not in the league, in their respective conferences. And this is a case where, you know, at the beginning of the season, before anything tipped off, that these were the two best teams. You know, it was the Cavs and the Warriors. These were the best teams. They fought in the past two NBA Finals. They split the last two NBA Finals. Like, did you really want to see like some other weird team sneak in there? I want the third.
No.
I want the grudge match. You know what I mean? Next year,
right?
All right, Houston, if you want to jump in there next year, all right, you know, whoever. But like this, I want the grudge match, man. I want like the Durant Warriors against the Cavs, you know what I mean? Like, that you want that. So it's like, yeah, it sucks that, you know, maybe the games haven't been all that competitive, but it just makes it that much more awesome than when those two teams come together, because they've just destroyed everybody else in their wake, that it's like, all right, there is no other team left in this league but us, you know, let's do this. So it
what is the we've got a game 5, you know, Washington Boston.
Yeah, I mean the little series,
Celtics Wizards.
Yeah,
that's going to be good.
Well, because people are complaining about like the auxiliary series have been pretty good. It's just that the Warriors are beating everybody by like 16. Like, you know, their game.
Right.
I think it was something. I saw some stat that like I think the Jazz led like 11 minutes that entire series, which is not good like at all. And then I think the Cavs are beating guys by like, you know, a little over 9 points or whatever. So like those games aren't very competitive, but you're getting little fun things in those other series. Yeah, you know, something, but who cares? Like,
right. It seems like, generally speaking, would it be better if more teams in the playoffs in the NBA were actually better at basketball than just, you know, I guess I'm talking about the difference in magnitude between how good the Cavs and the Warriors are versus how good the Wizards are, mm-hmm. or the Jazz or whatever. Would it be better if those two, if those tiers were a little bit closer? Sure, but it's, I still, yeah. Given the context, I want the grudge match. That's what I want.
Right, it's hard in the NBA to do that. I mean, that's, you know, through the history of the NBA, it's like, hey, you have one of the, you know, five best players in the league or whatever. Well, you're going to be better than a team that doesn't have one of the five best players. It's not right. It's like, we can just give the ball to LeBron, and LeBron can do LeBron things. Like, there's no way to, other than give every team one of the five best players in the league, and you can't do that. And in some cases, you know, they join on the same team like they did with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of done with the Cavs too. So, yeah, it happens. But, yeah, I don't really mind it all that much. And I think most people that complain about it, but I think at the end of the day, once those NBA Finals happen, provided that's a good series, provided it's not like the Warriors just sweep them four games and it's like, oh, okay. But even
if that happens, that may be.
But
that,
even then,
that
isn't
may be
it kind of cool that it's like, holy shit, like the Warriors are really good. Like that was the best right. team ever. Oh my God. Like if they just decimate the Cavs, like they just beat them by 30 every game, it's just like, oh my.
No, but God. Then we get sad. Then we get sad, mopey, emotional LeBron. And I don't like that.
Yeah,
LeBron.
That one gets. Yeah,
that's not a fun
bad.
LeBron.
And then everybody gets traded. And everybody gets fired. Like Kevin Love gets.
Right,
played.
Because then Kevin Love's gone.
Yeah, Kevin Love's like, I didn't do anything. Like I scored 30. It's like, get out of your garbage.
He definitely gets, I don't know it for sure, but I guarantee you he gets more glares from LeBron than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know if you remember in Miami, but Mario Chalmers, the point guard, would like always, like no matter what, like Mario would just be on the other side of the court, he'd be on the bench, but like Bosh and Wade and James would always just look at him like, oh, come on, Mario, and it's like, what? Like, I didn't do anything. Like, that was you. Like, Wade would just, like, dribble out of bounds. He'd be like, Mario, what are you doing? You're in my way. And he's like, I'm over here. Like, you're supposed to cut baseline. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Right. Like, that's not the play. That is not. I was there in film. I was there at the film session, and that is not the play.
But it was like, because he was, like, the young rook, and they were, like, the veterans, and they were obviously better than him. So they were just like, but no, I'm positive Kevin Love gets those at least, like, four times a game, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, dude, what are you doing? Because. Because Love sometimes just like can't get out of his own way. Like he's a very good player, but there's certain times where he's just kind of like, you know,
he does something silly, or he doesn't rotate properly, or you know, he comes out on roller skates and then he just does something silly, and then he gets glared at by LeBron. It's like, well, man, I'm not you. Come on, don't yell at me for being not you. But there's some other things we want to get to. While we get that prepared, I want to tell you about Amazon. If you go to Rich, the URL is up, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course.
Amazon.knpshow.com?
I believe so. Let me confirm that it is.
Double confirm that, but there's a great way to help out the show. You shop on Amazon. I was buying stuff today. I was looking at telephoto camera lens I want to add to my collection.
Definitely buy that. And yes, the link does work, so.
The link does work, so go to amazon.knpshow. That's amazon.knpshow. Everything you buy on Amazon, when you bookmark that link, you'll be helping out the show as well as the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. So go to amazon.knpshow right now. Amazon.knpshow.com right now. Bookmark the link, and you'll be helping us out. I thank you. We thank you. Well, I thank you. I don't know if Rich thanks you. He might tell you to go F yourself.
I'll think about it, but.
Just piss off and get out of here.
I mean, shoot the piss out of you. I'm going to use that,
I like
more.
That.
Shoot the piss out of. Like, I don't understand what
the piss out of something. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take the piss out of this. I'm going to drink the piss out of this. Actually, no, not that one. Not that one.
But it's a basketball. Like, what?
I don't. Yeah, that's just nonsensical for the sake of nonsensical.
But
I think.
It, yeah, but I'm gonna start using that's it now
the times. That's the rub there. Now, Rich, what the hell is going on in Major League Baseball?
There's a lot of weird shit going on in Major League Baseball.
The Cubs are here's the thing: the Chicago White Sox are closer to the divisional lead than the Chicago Cubs are right now.
The Cubs are behind the Reds, right? Like, what?
Yes, the Reds and the, like, Reds are currently spanking the Yankees' ass on my TV right now.
What are the
right
Reds
now.
Doing?
Stop winning!
Who told the Reds they could start winning? They're like a year away.
I don't
away
know. I didn't do it.
No, somebody did, and they need to speak up, because the Reds were not supposed to win for like another 2 years. I don't know who decided the Reds. Yeah, what's going on in Cubs land there? I mean, if you had told me, you know, 2 weeks into May, that the Reds would be closer to winning the division than the Cubs,
just by virtue of games of one loss percentage in games back, etc. No future projections required.
Yeah, but just
here.
Like right now as we speak. I mean, of course, that I think the Cubs are going to come through, but it is one of those weird things where, you know, we're in this weird part of the calendar where people are, I'm sure the Cubs will, you know, things will get better. They'll come through, but it's like, yeah, you know, like a lot of times what you are is what you'll kind of stay, you know, like we're past
right.
The
we're
point
32
where,
games into the season. This is not. I mean, it's still a way too early playoff.
Oh
look,
yeah, I mean,
but,
it's not like they're gonna be, you know, falling apart. I think they'll be in the mix when we're one way or another. But the idea that they're just gonna waltz or you know moonwalk into the division title might not be the case.
Mm-hmm. In the St. Louis Cardinals, they lost their number one starter, Alex Reyes, by some accounts the number one prospect in baseball. With a bullet, too. 100-mile-per-hour fastball starter. He's got the stamina. He can go late in the game. He's still rocking it, 97, 98, 99 sometimes. And they lost him to Tommy John surgery, another 17-14, leading the division by half a game over the Reds. And everybody in the Central is within 3.5 games of one another. That's incredible. That is absolutely insane. And to that end, I looked this up. I can't believe it. Rich, if I told you, before the season started, if I said, all right, now we're not talking 2 weeks into the season or 3 weeks into the season. We are talking about a month and a half into the season, which is about where we are right now. If I said a month into the season, the Rays, the Twins, and the Brewers are projected to have a better chance at making the playoffs by Pecota than the San Francisco Giants. Would you believe me?
I would have not, no.
But because they all do.
Right, or the Rockies.
Giants now,
the Rockies would run away with their division, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants are at 11-22 right
now.
They're
really bad. Have you watched any Giants games?
I think I watched the first Mad Bum start.
They don't bring bats to the... I don't know what they're doing. Like they're like, oh, like,
oh, wait a second.
What is that? Those are bats. Okay, that makes it a lot easier. Okay, all right. Because we were just
you see,
waiting.
We thought we were under the impression that these were just large toothpicks.
Right.
But oh,
got it.
Okay,
so it's a bat, and then you don't wait for them to walk you. You hit the. Oh, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And the Toronto Blue Jays have even less of a shot at making the playoffs.
That's went south real fast.
You lost Edwin Encarnacion. You paid Joey Bats, and you've got. Let's see, what is their rotation looking like? They've got.
It's not good.
It's not good, is it?
It's not great.
You go from wanting to making a serious play to make it to the World Series last year, like a not joking play, not like a luck into it, and. You know, God, we're just here by the hair on our chinny chin chin. We are a legitimate playoff contending team. And then your starting second baseman, Devin Travis, has a 157, 204, 245 slash line.
Is that good, right?
I don't think it is.
That's, no?
Joey Bats is 169, 296,
yeah, he's not much better. I mean, a 254 slugging for Joey Bats, that's like, you know, that's 24-year-old Joey Bats. It's the one that was being bounced around the league and nobody wanted him anymore.
He's 30. I think you let the wrong guy go. Because Edwin Encarnacion, from what I understand, let me check right now.
Yeah, he's actually not doing all that well either. He started to heat up a little bit in the last few weeks, but it was looking pretty bad there for a while. But I think he's starting to get it together a little bit.
At least he gets on base. He's still getting on base at a 36%
clip.
He's
had like a hot like 3 weeks or whatever. So he's finally figured out. The first few weeks in Cleveland were not good for him. But yeah, he's definitely looking like the one that you probably wanted to keep. Versus Joey, who but Batista's only got a 1 year deal, right? Or is it's a short deal if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, he got a short. Okay. He was one of the guys that was holding out, and everybody, you know. But to their credit, they didn't give him the long deal. But I think they also tried that with Edwin Encarnacion, and he said, "Well, no, like because I'm going to go get my money from the Indians."
So this is interesting. So he has okay. So 2018, he has a $17 million mutual option. Okay, so never mind. The mutual option, they're not going to agree. Because I was going to say, 2019 has a vesting option if he has 100 or 300 games played, rather. He's going to be bought out for $500.
No, there's no way the Jays will exercise that.
Yeah, I always forget the mutual option is like the stupid.
That's the
weird.
Best one.
Yeah, because it's like, nah, we're good. It's like,
Right, because it's like you get to dip a toe in the option.
Like, why would it be mutual? Like, it's either team option or play. Like, but it's it because there's no case where like you need a mutual. But whatever. That's
yeah. The best part is guys with team options like Dwayne Wade,
right?
Or no, player options. Excuse me, not a team option. Player option for what is it? $22 million.
I think it's 25. He wants to come back. I think it's 25.
Yeah, if he wants to come back, and that's. Yeah, but nobody getting fired. Nobody getting fired from the Chicago Bulls. But yeah, these Blue Jays looking. I mean, you know, you got Marcus Stroman doing his thing, but other than that, just kind of blah. And there's a bunch of other guys.
You mentioned,
the MLB doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned the Devin Travis batting line. We just kind of wanted. Obviously, it's a very small sample size again, but there's some fun little batting lines going on here so far this year. Some fun good ones and some fun bad ones as well. The fun bad ones, I think, are much more fun here. But Dansby Swanson, I'm very upset by this because the 23-year-old, he burst on the scene last year with his, you know, dashing good looks and great hair and good baseball face. He had a 302, 361, 442 slash line with a 115 OPS plus in 38 games last year. So Atlanta fans feeling good. They, you know, they're okay, we got our guy, and we traded Shelby Miller and we got him, and Shelby's falling apart and he's terrible. And then, man, we got Dansby Swanson. This is the greatest. This year, it's not going so well. He's hitting 151, 222, and 217.
Oh,
so OPS plus is 17. That's far and away the lowest in the league so far. So hypothetically, let's just say hypothetically, Swanson keeps this pace, which I doubt he would, because I think at some point they would put him in the minors, right? Like, I doubt they're just going to let him just burn on fire the entire year.
Nope, wear it, Dansby.
But if he has to wear it, it will be the lowest OPS plus season since 1909, when the Brooklyn Super Baz, yes, that was a team name, the Super Baz, player Bill Bergen, I believe, had an OPS plus of one. Just one. Which is great, too. Bergeron, he had an OPS plus of just 16 in 1906. So this guy sucked. This guy was a terrible hitter. He was a catcher. He played 11 years in the league and had a career OPS plus of 21.
Well, you know, they valued different things back then. It's a different league,
but
different
time.
You knew
when a guy was a good hitter or not, right? Like, he was really
bad. You kind of know. Like, people like to make fun of, like, advanced metrics. Like, oh, yeah, I need a computer to tell me that. It's like, well, then why are there so many bad players that suck around for so damn long?
Right. Like,
you know what hitting 100 looks like.
Right,
you don't need
like, yeah,
Carmine or
right, yeah,
Pagoda for that. Right. You don't need to see that. There's probably has never existed a player that's hit 100, even though batting average is a poor metric. There's probably never been a player that's hit 100 that's actually still pretty good, right?
Right, unless he's the greatest defensive player you've ever seen, and even then, like, does he see enough chances?
Score me some damn runs,
right? Does
my
he see enough chances to do that? There is a guy coming up in a little bit, though. We'll talk about it. Actually, you know what? Let me find him right now. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Okay. Oh, this actually is a good little segue here. So Alex Gordon, I said, thankfully for Swanson, he has some company with a 217 slugging, because Royals outfielder Alex Gordon is currently last in the league with a slugging of 215.
Oh boy.
Which, yeah, is a little odd considering Gordon is just 2 years away, or just 2 years ago. He had a 430 plus slugging. I mean, he was a decent slugger. He got some MVP votes. You know, he did just turn 33, so maybe we're just starting to see the aging curve at work, and that's maybe a little thing we got to adjust a little bit, because, you know, for so many years, the aging curve didn't really work because men found ways stay healthier longer and keep their bodies in tip-top shape even when they were 38, so they had, you know, second and third peaks. But guys, don't do that now, guys. You know, when they turn 33, they just turn 33. But, Gordon has really fallen on his face, and again, I don't think Gordon is going to keep that pace, but you never know, because he's an established player. Like, it's not like they're going to put Gordon in AAA. I mean, maybe they release him. Maybe I don't know what the hell you do with Alex Gordon, unless, you know, you hope that he just gets better. But if he does keep this pace, it'll be the lowest OPS. Lowest slugging, rather. I meant to say lowest slugging since Ray Barry's in 1940. He also had a 215 slugging for an entire year. Just for shits and giggles, I wanted to see the worst slugging percentage by anybody who qualified for a batting title. It was 156 by Cincinnati Reds pitcher Will White. So to be fair, he was a pitcher. His line that year, 136, 153, 156.
Okay, well, he's a pitcher, so...
Yeah. And I said, to be fair, he went 43-31 and had a 120 ERA plus. So we'll let it slide.
Yeah, wait a second. How many games did he start if he qualified for a damn batting title?
That's what I mean. Like, they must have pitch hit him or whatever. But yeah, 1940, it seems a little weird that would be a... Or sorry, this is Will White that I'm talking about. Will White, I think Cincinnati Reds, Will White. I'm kind of curious because, he qualified for a batting title. So we'll have to see how many at-bats he had. Right. Then again, he he went 43-31. So he might have just pitched in so many games. Ooh, William Harry Woopla White. That's his name, is Woopla.
Ew.
Woopla, there it is. Willie White.
And this is the 1940 Cincinnati Reds?
No. This is the 1879 Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, okay. All right.
1940 was Ray Barris. Ray Barris is the lowest slugging since then. No, this is the 1879 we're talking about.
Okay, so this guy started 75 games. That's a lot of pitching.
He pitched 680 innings.
That's a good, a lot of work on the old elbow.
He faced 2,906 batters that year. God, I love old timey baseball. That's insane sport.
Like, 680
sport at all. You know what I mean? Like, we really shouldn't use those stats at all. Like, that's not.
I don't know. He had a 2.55 fielding independent pitching.
His fifth, yes. So guys, all right, guys, I'm out there dicing. You know,
he was slicing and dicing. Yeah. He was striking guys out, not walking a lot of guys. He averaged three strikeouts per nine. He only walked like about one. He didn't give up a lot of home runs, although he's pitching with a grapefruit.
There was no fences, but you know.
Yeah, he was doing.
He batted 300 times that year. So
that qualified. Yeah.
Led the league in strikeouts at 56. So.
God, what do you?
I love old time.
You have a 1.54 ERA and you're only 71% better than league average. That should tell you a little something, I think.
All right, let's talk about good guys, though. All right.
Yes.
450 OBP.
There's also good.
We're looking at guys with plus 450 OBPs right now, including one over 500. So there's currently four players who have OBPs of 450 or better: Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman, Paul Goldschmidt, and Ryan Zimmerman. We'll get to Ryan Zimmerman in a second, but let's talk about Bryce Harper. League-leading OBP of 5.11.
Yeah, they're going to pay him $40 million a year.
51% of the time.
Yeah.
He gets on pace. That's ridiculous.
He might actually be worth $40 million a year.
Oh, my God. Bryce Harper's so awesome. And the thing that I don't know if we appreciate Bryce Harper as much as we probably should, because I think people always had this expectation of what Bryce Harper should be and what he should do or whatever, but people had those expectations when he was, like, 20, playing, like, full-time in baseball. Like, can you imagine what you did when you were 20?
No,
don't
well, I
imagine.
Choose
Actually,
not to. I choose not to, but yes.
But
and
like,
it's not this.
He's 24 right now. Like, that's the thing that I think a lot of people think. Like, this guy should be in the minors, basically. He should just be, like, emerging from the minors at this point. And he's 6 years into the league. Like, so there's always this
right,
weird
about
expectation.
About to become a free agent.
Thing. Right, there's always this weird expectation thing of what he should do and what he should be or what. Like, the guy won an MVP when he was 22. Like, that's ridiculous. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah. I remember that ESPN, the magazine cover, and I remember we talked about it on 643 Sports, as I recall, when he was coming out of high school, as he wanted to be he graduated high school early to try to make the draft, but they wouldn't let him. So he had to go to a JUCO for a year and then was the number one overall pick. But I remember that thinking, the rate at which prospects, you know, the attrition rate, there's no way this kid's got his, you know, he's got his head up his ass. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, no, he's a generational talent that the likes of which we haven't seen for a while. And he's really damn good.
God, he's
that's
so good.
That's insane. I mean, I don't know if you can keep up 500.
That would be tough.
OBP.
Yeah.
But
if anybody could do it, it's Bryce, right?
He's got 5 intentional walks. That's lead-leading.
Yeah, he leads the league in walks, intentional walks, and runs. And that's been a thing ever since, what was it, the Cubs last year? That entire series was just like, fuck it, we're walking him the entire time. Like,
yep.
They didn't pitch him like, the entire series. Like, fuck you. Nope.
Nope, not touching him. No.
You're good, so you don't get the ball. And like that could be a thing that happens, especially you know if this guy falls down to earth, and this is our next guy I'm going to talk about here, Ryan Zimmerman. Because you've been pitching around to Bryce Harper, but you've been pitching to Ryan Zimmerman, and somehow, some way, that's not working well because Ryan Zimmerman has a 288 OPS plus.
Beating Bryce Harper, right?
Yes. Here's the stat line here.
Oh, no.
420, league leading, 459 OBP, and then an 875 slugging, league leading.
Jesus.
Now, this is significant because Ryan Zimmerman had a 69 OPS plus last year. And you have to go back.
It's a hell of a turnaround.
You have to go back all the way to 2013 to find Ryan Zimmerman with an OPS plus over even 120. Even over, like, what would you consider 120? That's, like, pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's well above. I mean, that's 20% better than.
I won't say 120 is not great, though, right? 120 is like, you know, you're not punching MVP cards.
120 is all-star.
Right, so you have to go back you're to 2013 all-star. To find, you know, even remotely all-star level Ryan Zimmerman. And now he's, like, otherworldly right now. He's got a 2.2 BWAR, baseball reference WAR, after being sub 1 and even negative 1 his last three seasons. He was negative 1.1, I think, last year. He's already at 2.2. So, yeah, I mean, he's not going to keep this up. I don't think so, but Jesus Christ, he's been incredible.
And here's the crazy thing is that, look, just up and down, the Washington Nationals lineup is probably performing the best as the best in baseball right now. Because you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, he's hurt, five guys in their starting lineup that are at 120 or better in OPS plus. Five in your 1 through 9. Five. And the one guy who's about at 120 is Matt Wieters, who's your catcher, who's had a resurgence. I mean, this is like 26-year-old Matt Wieters again, batting 273 with a 360 OBP and a 477 slugging. That from the catching position is phenomenal. And he is not a subpar pitch framer, if I recall correctly, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he's pretty solid. Like, I don't think he's one of the best in the league, but I think he's certainly up there.
Well, now we're through 32 games. The Washington Nationals, I did some research after reading what you put in the run sheet. The Washington Nationals, through 32 games, have scored 198 runs, okay? That's just, you know, all told, through 32 mm-hmm. games, 198 runs. The Murderer's Row 1927 Yankees. This is not to say that they are the Murderer's Row 1927 Yankees, but through 32 games, the 1927 Yankees scored 188 runs through 32 games, through their first 32. That's how good. I mean, if you look at the run totals, just run totals of MLB teams, the Nationals are far and away the best in the league. Like, they are leading by, I believe, 20 or 21 runs, and then after that, there's no difference between slots by more than, I think, 10 runs. So they are so far and away ahead of the rest of Major League Baseball in scoring runs, it's almost not even fair what they're doing in Washington.
Yeah, it's after losing Adam Eaton, too. They've been a great team. And, yeah, the Eaton injury really sucks for them because that was a team that really looked like they had everything together. But they really haven't missed a beat without him. So it's pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of fun to see. If you haven't watched the Nationals this year, they're a fun team to watch. But I think my favorite team to watch in the league, which I don't think I've ever said this in my entire life, but man, the New York Yankees. Is that not the best team to watch in baseball right now?
Mm-hmm.
Just big old mashers, like young. Those guys, I mean, they are all coming together right now. That team is going to be hellacious for years, right?
And they don't even have Clint Frazier up yet.
Right. Torres is up now, right? Glenbert Torres?
Did they call up Glimmer?
I don't know if they did yet, but that's another guy they have. I think they have a few other
right.
guys.
Oh, that's right. Not even right. Clint Frazier is their number two prospect because Glimmer Torres is the other guy.
Yeah, is Glimmer up yet?
On the list that people
think he is.
Let me check.
I don't think he is. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, I don't believe he is.
No, it looks like he's still in the minors.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. So that's they haven't even done they haven't gotten that guy out yet, which is just. Mm-hmm. God, that's going to be incredible.
You've got Gary Sanchez. You've got your guy, our guy, friend of the show. Not really friend of the show, but show favorite, Aaron Judge, who is, I did not know that Ryan Zimmerman was doing what Ryan Zimmerman is doing, but I'm still, in some way, I'm a little bit more impressed by Aaron Judge. Just because it seems like every night he hits a ball so hard that I cannot believe how hard, how high, how fast, how far it goes, because he was rated as having a true on the, what is it, it's 2080 is the scouting scale.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was rated as having a true 80 raw power.
Right, which you don't see that often. I mean, people might throw it around or whatever, but the actual, like, we're grading him as an 80 is rare. It does not happen that much. Because you're saying
Joey Gallo toyed around with like a 70, like
right,
he was
exactly.
at 70.
That was like, oh my God, what a power hitter. But when they give you an 80, that's like, oh boy, watch out. This guy mm-hmm. is really, and he's killing it.
He's doing it. It's insane.
God, he's the best.
Absolutely.
So he leads the AL in home runs with 13. He's slashing 317, 410, 772 as a 25-year-old. He also has the highest exit velocity of the year. One of the balls that he hit went 119.4 miles per hour.
Can you even imagine
like being on the field when that like 7 foot two, like, and this thing too, like, we've never seen an athlete like him in baseball. I mean, the guy is gigantic. Those guys
and
don't
play
baseball.
Super athletic too.
Yeah, those guys don't play baseball. Like, why? It's really weird that he plays baseball at all. You know what I mean? Like, in these days, a guy that height with that athleticism, you would say, you know, 6'7", almost 300 pounds. Like, that's, you know.
That's football or basketball.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I would almost say football. Yeah. I'd probably put, you know, I would be surprised, you know, if he was a tight end or a wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like, that's where you would assume. Right. But no, he's playing baseball. And it's just like the things he's doing to a baseball are just incredible. Like, it's unbelievable. He's fourth right now in average exit velocity. It's pretty. Miguel Sano, Chris Davis, the KHRIS Chris Davis.
Oh, that Chris Davis.
That
one, okay.
That Chris Davis. And then Miguel Cabrera. Little big old fatty Miguel. That's what I love about Miguel Cabrera, man. That guy, I'm convinced that guy will play until he's like 47.
Right, just doing things.
He's still going to hit like 270 until he's, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's going to be an absolute drain on your defense. He's not going to run past first base. But, like, you don't think that dude can, like, rope a double whenever he wants?
No, he's shown that he can. I mean, that's, for him, he's 30, what now?
Oh, if you ever want to have fun. Yeah, no, are you going to his baseball reference page?
Yes.
Go look at his contract.
Oh, no. What?
Good skull look.
Is it bad?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see. Yeah. First of all, he is he's 34. Actually, not that old.
Okay,
only
so
34.
Got some years in him, which is good, because...
Oh, boy. Wow.
Keep scrolling. Yep.
So he's getting paid $28 million in 2018, his age 35 season. For the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years, he will be making $30 million. And then he gets a raise to $32 million for the next 2 years until he's 40.
Yeah, we're in 2023, by the way, which this world will just be maybe it was a value buy by the Tigers. They're like, oh, dude, this world's not going to exist. Like, this thing's going to be lit on fire by that point. Like.
And then the next 2 years for 2024 and 2025, he actually has vesting options for $30 million if he finishes in the top 10 of MVP voting in the previous year. So if he finishes in the top 10 in 2023 at age 40 and in the top 10 at age 41 in the year 2024, he will be getting an extra $60 million.
I hope he does.
But
would that be the greatest thing ever? If people like troll the Tigers and just like vote Miguel Cabrera, like, because it doesn't take that many votes to get you top 10. You know what I mean? Like,
That's true. Matt Wieters has an MVP candidacy.
Yeah.
I think I was looking at.
Yeah, like top 10 is not that hard to do. I think Gary Gaetti was there like twice. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not that hard to be.
Hey, don't you rip on Gary Gaetti, my friend.
No, hey. I would never.
Okay, just making sure. Just making sure.
I promise. But right. Yeah, it's not that hard. So I really hope that like writers unite just to troll the Tigers and be like, ha, he's like, top 10. They're like,
damn,
no,
it.
Please, he's 41. Like,
why would you ever tie $30 million to something like All-Star voting or MVP voting or anything
that
is completely
All-Star
outside
too,
your control? Like, right? Like, that's like NBA teams.
Right. Be like, well, if Paul Millsap gets, you know, X amount of NBA All-Star votes, well.
Right.
Because then he can just go on Twitter and be like, hey, I want to make like $17 million next year, so just vote for me, okay?
Right. Like, so please, I'll split it with you on the, you know, online group of whatever guys who create bots to stuff ballots and do all that. Right, like the guys that get whenever there's a naming thing, it's like Bodie McBoat face, or
I think there's a John Cena Elementary School that's currently being voted on in like some state. They asked for like name our elementary school, and it was like, I think John Cena Elementary School is like winning, which is the greatest. Like, don't
see,
ever
I would like
let
Schooly
humans.
McSchool face. Yeah, don't ever let the internet do.
Don't let
do
anybody
like
do
that.
Anything. Yeah, just figure it out on your own. Don't let people figure out anything.
Humans all suck. Don't let it. Don't let us do anything.
Although, how great would it be to go to John Cena Elementary School though?
Boo, boo, doo, boo. That should be that's the pledge.
Right.
Every
that's
morning.
What I mean. That the band plays it. Like, you could really embrace this and make it work. As long as, like, John Cena doesn't, like, murder Nikki Bella and, like, you know, burn her alive or something like that. You're pretty good for a while. I feel like John Cena's pretty clean, so.
Right. If he goes down the Chris Benoit path, then you're in trouble.
Right. But you got to hope that he doesn't. And do a futures
but,
buyout.
You know, there's only been really one Chris Benoit.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's not like wrestlers going nuts and doing. Although, you know, Jimmy Superfly. I mean, there was that the rumors that, you know, he murdered that woman.
Well, yeah. And then Vince McMahon showed up with a briefcase full of money, and then, you know, hey.
Oh, okay.
Go away. Right. It's weird how that works.
Yeah. So, okay, so two. There's only been two. And
well,
that's
we won't do that show now.
That we're okay. That's a different show.
Yeah, there's been quite a few, but not enough where I think you're safe with John Cena in high school or elementary school or whatever it is. So,
and he could just show up randomly to like it's a random school assembly day, and the kids won't know because they're kids. And then it's, you know, everybody's just gathered, and there's that dull roar, and then it's the lights go down, and then it's like the full production. He does his full thing. Comes out, does it, and then just goes.
People boo him, and you know, Cena sucks. Let's go, Cena. And, you know, embraces him. Just, you know, that would be the best.
It's right. It's like a WWE show right, inside the gymnasium. Right? There's the cool. There's the like the sixth graders are like the anti
Cena
crowd.
Cena
they're
sucks.
Like,
then like you know, the second graders are. Let's go,
like,
Cena.
Let's go, Cena.
Be great. I hope it wins.
So, but I mean, like, if you're a professional sports franchise, why would you tie the potential for $60 million to MVP voting?
Well, I don't know.
You know, I mean, that's we talked earlier about like who would take a mutual option, who would give a vesting option that's tied to MVP voting. Like, you want to make it like, I don't know, 40 home runs, fine.
Yeah,
but best if he hits 40 home runs,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, put like a number on there. And I guess like from the agent standpoint, they're like, well, what, you know, if the league, you know, does this or this, and you know, home runs are you know, because a few years ago, maybe you signed like, oh, well, hit 45 home runs, and then we'll vest your option, and then like the league, you know, juices the balls or whatever. Like, no,
then you're like, oh, damn it,
no, it's so easy now. We didn't know. Like,
well, you put that. We've got that in the run sheet here. Let's close out the show with that. The MLB has Rich. You're spearheading this.
Yeah. So
there's been a lot of talk that the ball has been juiced.
Yeah. So the
stuff
Ringer,
isn't making sense.
This is an article from the Ringer. It's Ben Lindbergh who hosts a really good podcast as well, Effectively Wild. Which is it's a Fangraphs podcast, but I used to be a Baseball Perspectives podcast. Now it's Fangraphs, but he writes for the Ringer. He's been on this for a long time of like the something, because you know, here's the thing, for a little bit of background, people don't know that, you know, in 2014 scoring was at its lowest levels since 1976. So it was in the tank after, you know, the 2000s and the 90s, which was a scoring bonanza. People were hitting, and then it really hit a lull in the mid 2000s. It wasn't very well, you know, people were wondering, oh, geez, these games are boring, the scoring is low as hell. Then the first half of 2015, you know, the scoring was about the same as it was in 2014. And then right after the All-Star break, like literally you can time it from the exact moment of the All-Star break, all of a sudden batting ball exit speed rose up, home run rates rose up, guys were just hitting more, runs were getting scored more, exactly at that point, midway through 2015, it happened. So everybody's kind of speculated, okay, what the hell could this be? You know, people have said, you know, oh, well, maybe people are on steroids again. Well, everybody then so decided that around the All-Star break, we're all
right,
going to take
cycled.
A ton
they
of steroids,
cycled,
so and it's going to immediately work for everybody across the league
right
at this exact moment. This is going to leak. So that doesn't work, and there's a lot of other things, too, with PEDs and not really, you know, directly being attributed to home run rates, but that's a whole other thing or whatever. So that didn't make any sense. People said, oh, well, you know, swing rates and launch angles or whatever. But again, like, it happened exactly at the All-Star break. So the idea that everybody got together and said, hey, you know, let's swing up at the ball more. You know, like, it's weird that we haven't
thought of this.
All
right, while everybody
now,
else is, it's like, while they're watching the prospects game, they're all just sitting around like, you know what? Got an idea. How about we just all swing up more? How about that? Swing earlier in counts.
Yeah, earlier
up
in counts.
More
yeah,
at the ball.
Then people would say, well, the people are being more aggressive at the plate. But again, like, it doesn't make sense that half of 2015 was like it was in 2014, and the other half of 2015 was nuts. And it's been nuts since then. It's been 2016. We saw it last year where it was the highest scoring environment ever. You know, the highest scoring environment we've ever seen in the league. And 2017 is the same way, too. Home runs are going out like crazy. You know, if you look at leaderboards of home run per nine, like, it's bigger than it's ever been. Like, there's just more home runs being hit this year than ever before. And it just continues to happen. So there's been speculation of, okay, well, there's only one thing left to talk about, and it's the balls. Is that the issue? MLB has always said that it's not, and they Ben Lindbergh from The Ringer has recently been asking MLB, because Rob Manfred, I think, addressed it and said, oh, no, we did a study, and the study said that the balls are fine. The balls have not done it or whatever. Well, you know, Ben Limmering has asked time and time again, hey, let me see the study. I have smart people on here. I want to look at the study. I want to see the study and see what's up. Well, in 2016, they did a study. MLB received 24 balls apiece from 5 teams, with each club contribution coming from the Rawlings supplied stock designated for in-game use during the regular season. So they tested a bunch of these balls, and the conclusion from the report, you know, I won't get into the, if you want to check it out, it's on the Ringer right now, but he says there is no evidence from the results of this study that the performance of the 2016 regular season baseballs used by these 5 clubs would have resulted in any difference in on-field performance from those used during recent seasons. So that study concludes that no, they have not in fact did that. They do say in this article as well that they had a, I think he's a, actually he's a University of Illinois physicist, who Alan Nathan, I think is his name. He's written a bunch of stuff as well. Yeah, Nathan, I is his last name. I forgot what his first name is. But he is like kind of a well-known physicist. He's written a bunch of stuff on baseball and on baseball and physics or whatever. And he looked through the study and said that it looked pretty clean to him as well. So, you know, Ben Lindbergh kind of said, I don't know. Like, this is kind of what we thought was the red herring or what the thing was. And maybe it was a red herring, which I don't know then. What the hell is it? Like, is it possibly a sample size issue with, you know, 5 teams? Is that not enough? Is there something that Rawlings knew ahead of time the study was going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the conspiracy theory. But then how long do you go under a conspiracy theory if there's no evidence to it?
That's true. That's, well, you know, ask 9/11. Ask 9/11 truthers.
Hold on. There's a vapor trail outside of my window. What the hell is that? What the?
Yeah, dude. They're sprinkling us with the chemicals, man.
Again.
They're making us complicit in the fluoride in the water, dude.
Which is funny because I was in Italy and I saw a bunch of those too. And I was like, oh, didn't those people always just say it was just in America? Like, or is it a worldwide conspiracy? I never followed the vapor trail thing. Is it a worldwide conspiracy or is it just a...
I think it's worldwide.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
So it's part of the New World Order. That,
oh, it's a New World Order.
Not that
thing?
New World Order. I don't know. Maybe it's Wolfpack. I don't know.
Right. Is it black and white or red and white?
I don't know. But everybody says, you know, it's the New World Order. And I'm like, okay, so is... You know, is Kevin Nash or
Stevie Ray's going to show up?
Yeah, are they doing? Who's behind this? Who's flying the planes? Who's attaching this? I don't know. Is Razor Ramon involved? Is he a patsy? I'm not exactly sure. But you know, the thing of it is, I wonder how. I'll read the piece. I'll have to read the piece more in depth. But okay, you've got a sampling of baseballs from 2016. What about the baseballs from the first half of 2015? Like, is that what they were compared to?
Yeah,
or 2014?
Yeah, I'm not sure, that's what you really have to do, and I think that's what most people... And Lindbergh kind of says that, too, that I don't know if he's quite like, yeah, no, this is definitely it. But he kind of throws up his shoulders a little. But, yeah, you need to see. I think that's going to be really what it is look at the balls from that first half. Because that you have that exact line when, like, everything went nuts that half, you know, halfway through the All-Star or after the All-Star break. So you got to compare that. That has to be the comparison. I don't know if they did that. I'm not sure.
Huh. Yeah, because I remember reading that I thought there was a new facility that opened up that Rawlings went into production for all the game-used balls, and that seemed to be where a lot of people were pointing to. Like, maybe it's the materials, where the materials are sourced from, not necessarily, maybe not a different spec, but the materials from this different geographic part of the world may be a touch different, but... You know, MLB saying up and down, the materials are the same. We know. I don't know. You know what? It could be this, that people are making too much. It could be that the 2015 All-Star break turn is a pure coincidence. And it's just a random standing wave that all added together, and it just happened. Why did it happen? Nobody knows. You could never explain it in a million years. And it just happened that way. Maybe that's it. But other than that, I don't know. Baseballs, maybe? You know, could it be the baseball? Or, excuse me, the bats?
Yeah, maybe.
But everybody's, you know, different. There's you've got the Sambats, you've got Marucci, you've got Mizuno,
Louisville Slugger. Yeah, that makes it a little bit tougher just because there is, so much difference in variants of bats or whatever. So to try to get everybody on the same page as far as like, hey, we should use these bats, like right. these bats are good or whatever. Whereas baseballs are uniform across the league. So that would make a little bit more sense. Cause bats, like you said, like everybody's sources. And now I think I read an article. Cause you know, when you're on a 10-hour flight, there was a, that in-flight magazine, you know, you always pick it up and you're always like, oh, this is going to be awful. Like, why do I look at this? It's always awful. But they had an article about, you know, bat manufacturers. Like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. And it's something like, there's like 103 different factories that make bats now.
Oh, geez.
Because, like, for a while, it was just, like, Louisville Slugger, and then maybe a few people would do this, this, and this. But people are finding that, players like the idea that, like, they can go to this factory and be like, hey, here's exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And really have, like, a hands-on approach about it. So it's kind of become the, you know, the craft bat factories, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, what's the maple density by volume? Can they... make that their own. They can customize it. You know what I'm waiting for is the home bat factory, not just craft bats.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for
Bryce Harper's like, no, I made this in my house. Like,
I just whittled down a large chunk of wood into this bat. So yeah,
he's
it's
got
a small
beard. He's got the beard already, so he's halfway there to doing that.
He
so.
Does. You know what? Good for him.
But the handle that he is so small. Like his bat handle was some ridiculous like Ted Williams and Babe Ruth are rolling in their grave if they saw the bat handle that Bryce Harper.
Yeah, because they were hitting with telephone poles.
Exactly, and his is like a pen. You know, it's the size of a pen, and then like the barrel's huge or whatever. It's some ridiculous thing like that. So, but I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know if we're, like you said, we might never get an answer, and it might not be an answer. It might, like you said, it just might have been a weird confluence, and we're sort of ascribing
right, because
this time to it of like things just happen sometimes, and maybe there's not always because it happened after this point doesn't necessarily mean that point is the reason why it happened.
Right. There was, you know, because if it happened before the season, if it happened, you know, in the winter or spring training or whatever, if it happened to begin 2015, then you'd point to the difference between the 2014 and 2015 seasons as what changed here. Like the moving the inflection point doesn't really, it changes nothing. You know, you're still going to have the questions about what does the inflection point mean or what caused it. And maybe there isn't a cause, at least that can be an overt, calculated conspiracy to cause it, because I don't know what would be wrong with the MLB saying yes, people like scoring and this is a fine way to increase scoring for everybody that isn't one dangerous because of the illicit nature of steroids and blah 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 blah. Why would Manfred not want to at least say, you know, if there's a way to increase scoring a little bit without changing the game, without turning guys into superheroes like we had in the 90s and the 2000s, without having guys take horse steroids to try to get as big as they can and their heads growing and their feet growing and all those things. Instead of that, hey, we're just going to make the ball, we're going to wind it a little bit tighter so that guys can hit it a little bit harder. Is there really anything wrong with that?
I would have no problem with it. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people that are doing the research on it are just kind of like, just admit it, guys. Like, it's fine if that's the case. But the fact that they haven't admitted it and they don't see any reason to admit it is because Manfred's not been shy about wanting to change the game as well. You know what I mean? Like, he
right.
Why is he more apt? And I think that's one of the frustrations, too. And I would question that, too, is why, if, let's say, hypothetically, it is the case that the balls were changed, why, you know, he's okay with putting a guy on second to start the extra innings or whatever, and he's okay with, you know, the clock, and he's okay with this and this and this, the things that do change the fundamental aspect to the game. But then when asked about the ball, he went, no, I didn't do anything with the ball. Like, which then it makes you kind of think, okay, if this guy is not shy about changing aspects of the game, and he's been very transparent for the most part, that if he says, no, we didn't do anything to the balls, maybe they didn't then.
That's true.
You know, because he's been so obvious. And that's the benefit that you get by having a commissioner that's not Bud Selig, who's, you know, Mr. Secret or
right.
whatever, where everything with Bud Selig was like, well, geez, what's the secret? What are you hiding? What are you doing? Manfred's been right out there going like, hey, you know, this, 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 and this. So it seems weird that he would, if it was the case, that he would hide this and not just go out there and say it. So it is, because I agree with you. Yeah, I wouldn't care if he's like, hey, look, we needed scoring, so the ball's got a little tight wand. Yeah, okay. Who cares?
All right, there you go. Yeah, it's not really that different than what they were, you know, I guess theoretically, than what they were trying to do with controlling for the height in, or the altitude in Denver.
Oh, right, yeah, with the humidor.
Right, with the humidor that they tried, because, okay, if you're willing to doctor baseballs, like, you know, MLB-sanctioned doctoring of baseballs in order to depress scoring in Colorado, why wouldn't it be okay to just, you know, mandate that the balls be wound a little bit tighter to increase, you know, exit velocity and thus run scoring? I don't know. So, and that leads me to believe that maybe it's just a, you know, it's just a bunch of things coming together at this weird point, and we may be making a little bit too much out of, because if this is to be believed, if what MLB is to be believed says is believable and is scientifically sound, then there's not really much else other than as you said, a massive conspiracy to all take steroids at the same time.
Right, which I'm going with that as the working theory right now, is everybody got together. No, I think everybody got together. There was the all-players meeting that always happens at the All-Star Week, because guys definitely don't go back to their families or go to their beautiful houses and beautiful areas, right, and say, fuck baseball for like a week or whatever. No, they all got together for their big, you know, maybe with the New World, maybe with the Vapor Trail guys, the New World Order. They went underground. Jay-Z was probably there. Because he's an Illuminati, of course, Jay-Z, because his lyrics sometimes mention things about it. So, of course, he is in the woke conspiracy.
Right, he's got to be. He's like the number one guy.
Right, so they all get in their underground bunker, which I assume, underground, right? They would have to be. They can't be above ground.
No, Matt Harvey does it at a club when he's not showing up to until 4 a.m. and then doesn't show up at the game. So Matt Harvey wasn't there.
No,
pretty much everybody else
was. So everybody else was there except for Matt Harvey, because he was loaded at 4 a.m. The night prior. But they all got together and said, okay, guys, we're going to keep the Vapor Trail thing going. It's going well. And then also, we're all going to take steroids right now, like in a pack that'll be, you know, their Kool-Aid is over there and somebody's preparing, you know, these drinks here.
This is like Jonestown.
Yeah, it's like Jonestown. And then we're also going to swing earlier in the counts. So like when it's 0-1, just swing, you know, just do that, try to do that.
Right, you're going
to
get a lot more fastballs.
Right, so just try to, you know, swing a little more aggressively in the early counts. And then, yeah, we're going to worry about these launch angles. This is a thing. So, you know, if we swing up more, we'll do better.
Right. So it's a three-pronged approach.
Too. Also the front foot swing. Remember that was big about Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista and those guys. They would, you know, stay back a little bit and put a lot of the pressure on their front foot or whatever. So we got to all do that too.
Okay. So all right. So like a three-pronged approach.
Right.
Swing angle, swinging earlier in the count, batting count tactics, and steroids all at the same time and all in the same regimen, so that we all start to get bigger and start feeling the effects. You're right around the All-Star break of 2015.
And we're all going to be very good at this. And it makes me wonder why we didn't all decide to do this before. You know what I mean? Like, right. All these players could just immediately decide, hey, you know what we're going to do? This. And
you know what? Last year, this meeting sucked. All right? So now, this time, we have a plan. And here it is.
I like it.
Much like this show. I like it. It had a plan. This was a good one. I like it. Thank you very much for listening. This episode has been brought to you as I scroll up because I lost the window. Our friends at Ticket Network. Go to ticketnetwork.knpshow.com right now. Whenever you buy tickets, you're going to go see a baseball game, maybe an NBA playoff game, maybe an NHL playoff game, or soccer. Go to ticketnetwork.knpshow.com. That's ticketnetwork.knpshow.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at KNANDPShow. You can follow Rich at Voices Wrestling. You can follow me at John's Voices. Thank you for listening to the KNP Show, episode number 36. For Rich Krejci, I'm John Playtech. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. We're out. Bye.